Greetings and welcome back to Vayikra, a special podcast project devoted to studying Sefer Vayikra. In this project, we are presenting a number of short shiurim on podcast for each of the weeks that we read Sefer Vayikra, Sunday through Thursdays, and just basically some food for thought about perhaps what is the most enigmatic of the Chumashim. In the first podcast, I suggested that we orient ourselves to the beginning of the book, looking at Moshe standing on the outside of the Mishkan, desiring to come in and being told that the command that he is given is not just about his ability or his ticket to come in, but rather about the opportunity for everyone to come in, as it were, Adam ki yakriv mikem, and that it is the great desire to come close to God which motivates that act which we refer to as korban. I suggested that we look taxonomically at the korban olah, which comprises chapter 1, and the korban mincha, which comprises chapter 2, as a single unit, to wit, from the perspective of the donor, it is a full offering where everything is being given up, as opposed to the third chapter, which is Shlamim, in which a person is effectively interested in eating meat, and the proper way to do that is to do it via the Mishkan and to involve the officiants, the Kohanim, etc. And now I'd like to take a look at some of the specific details in the opening lines. Which means when a person wants to, and now we won't translate directly, but wants to be makriv, and in this sense wants to bring himself close to Hashem, min ha-behema, min ha-bakar, u-min ha-tzon takriv ut korbanchem. It's a very interesting introductory line, because the opening line we might expect would be, if you want to bring a behema, these are the kind of animals you can bring. Or if you want to bring these kind of animals, this is the method of the offering, or this is the type of offering to bring. Instead, it starts out with an open statement, which is, if a person desires to come close, then, min ha-behema, min ha-bakar, u-min ha-tzon, that is how you're going to bring your korban. And then we have the delineation in the rest of the first parasha of the bakar, and in the second parasha of the tzon. A couple of anomalies here. The first one is that in the third parasha, we have the korban olat ha'of, which is an olah of birds. And yet, the olat ha'of was not introduced along with the other choices in that opening pasuk. So there's something strange, as if there's been some sort of left turn experienced after the second parasha, where the introductory sentences, min ha-behema, min ha-bakar, min ha-tzon, takriv et korbanchem, and then, im ola korbano min ha-bakar, if you choose cattle, and then the next one, im ola min ha-tzon, then kvasim or izim, sheep or goats, and then the details are given there. And then, the im min ha-of was not included in that opening line. Neither, of course, was the grain offering, and we will deal with that in a later podcast. The second thing is, why is this the particular order? Why is it bakar and son? And to ask perhaps a little bit further is why are these the animals that are chosen to go on to the Mizbeach? So in order to discuss these, I'd like to look back to the very first instance of Korban that we find in Tanakh, and a bit of a methodological introduction before going there. We have to remember that when the Torah tells us stories, the Torah does not give us all the details. The Torah gives us the details that are important to know. We don't know what Avram's nickname for Sarah was. We don't know what Avram had for breakfast. We don't know what Hagar looked like. We know what the text wants us to know because that's germane to the story. That also means which stories are told is significant, and which stories are omitted are because they're not necessary for what we need to know. So when we look back at the story of Cain and Hevel, the firstborn people on this world, we are given really a small smattering of information about them. We're told what each one does for a living. We're told about Cain's offering and about Hevel's offering. We're talked about God's different reactions to them, about Cain's jealousy, and then about Cain's killing Hevel and the subsequent punishment, the interaction with God. We're not told a whole lot more. But what we're told about Cain's offering is critical for us to understand what the Torah is telling us from the very beginning of the nature of offerings. And I'm not as concerned with why Hevel's offering was favored as much as why Cain's was rejected. What was it that Cain brought? So we find out that Cain was a farmer. And after a certain amount of days, Cain brought from the fruit of the ground as an offering. And God did not favor that offering. Why not? So we have to understand that the Torah isn't as concerned with the human being, the person Cain, as it is with the symbol of Cain and what that's telling us, meaning this is part of a world that the Torah is rejecting. This is a world approach that the Torah is rejecting. And it is the approach of paganism. What did pagans believe about their offerings? With their offerings, they were feeding their gods. They were feeding their gods so that their gods would be sated, their gods would be happy, their gods would take delight, and their gods would favor them and bless them with all the things they wanted their gods to bless them with. As such, they wanted to give them good things and fat things and tasty things because of their, of course, in their imagination, the gods were just really big human beings. If that's the case, then we understand why it would be appropriate for a farmer to bring his produce. You bring what you grow. Here's something that I grew, and I'm going to give the best of it, the first of it, to you, because I want that to be the offering. The Torah tells us that God does not favor that kind of offering, because our understanding, of course, is that our offerings are not brought because God is hungry or God is desirous of the offering, and we need look no further than the first chapter in Yeshayahu, then countless chapters in Yirmiyahu, and in Amos, and in Micha, and in Shmuel, to tell us that it is not God who wants the offering for himself, but rather the offering is an opportunity for man to come close. So what is it that God wants us to bring close? He doesn't want a representative of our produce to feed him, meaning a representative portion of our produce. There are times when God requests or demands that the first part of the produce be brought. It's brought as truman, given to the Kohanim. It's brought as chalan, given to the Kohanim. We have bikurim, which ultimately is given to the Kohanim. And these things are gifts that are shown to God, given to God, as a way of demonstrating our appreciation for the great gifts we've got by saying the first one belongs to God. Fine. But not as a gift given to God on his altar. So what is it that God wants us to bring in order for us to come close? Remember, challah, truma, bikurim are not methods of man coming close to God. They're methods of man demonstrating his appreciation for God through that gift and paying the proper tax to the proper people in the society. It seems to me that what the Torah is telling us is that the korban is not you giving a gift to God. The korban is you bringing yourself to God. Now, let's think about what Bnei Yisrael, at the time of the entrance into the land, what Bnei Yisrael, when at Har Sinai, anticipate their lives being like, and what they end up being like for most of the first temple period, is they are farmers and ranchers. For the most part, it's an agricultural society. To a farmer, what's the most significant animal? The most significant animal is an ox. It's not an ox because that's what he produces. It's an ox because the ox is doing my work. The ox is sort of me. I'm putting my energy into the ox. I'm driving the ox. I'm directing the ox. And the ox is plowing. The ox is threshing. The ox is doing all of the work to bring all of the produce out of the land. So when I want to come close to God and I can't bring myself close to God, the Torah allows me to do so through my agent. And my agent is my ox. That represents me. And how does the Torah tell us to do this? V'samach yado arosh ha'olah. You put your hand and you lean with all your strength on the animal, thus, as it were, transferring your energy into this animal and bringing it to the altar, and it goes up, and you have come close to God. If you're not a farmer, then what are you? You're likely a rancher. And if you're a rancher, what do you have? You are raising sheep and goats. Sheep for wool and goats for milk, chiefly, and some for meat. And therefore, what's the next korban that we are given the opportunity to bring? Minatzon. And minatzon could be minakvasim or minayizim, from the sheep or from the goats. So in other words, what the Torah is telling us is, at the very beginning, Adam ki akriv mikem korban ladonai, if a person wants to bring himself close to God, then how does he do it? Min ha-behema. He should take the animals that are chiefly the vehicles for his work. Min ha-bakar, that's the ideal, because if you're a farmer, which is the norm, then that's the animal that's doing your work for you. And if not, then min ha-tzon. And those are the only ones that are mentioned in the introductory sentence. Then the Torah delineates how to bring a bakar, an olah min ha-bakar, and the Torah delineates how to bring an olah min ha-tzon. And then, as a separate piece, for a reason we'll consider in the next podcast, the Torah then opens up the opportunity for bringing in olah min ha'of. We will look at the olah ta'of in the next podcast. In the meantime, wish everybody a wonderful day.